Join us now for the Chapel Hour, coming to you from the campus of Bob Jones University in Greenville, South Carolina. Our speaker today is Dr. Bob Jones III, president of BJU. The title of his message is, We Can Win Against the Devil. The text is from 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 4 through 11.
I'd like to thank the junior high for your hard work in getting a good result on the food poundage that you were engaged in. I'd like to especially congratulate Ms. Donna Bishop's room for being the winner, for having the most. I tell you what, you turn junior high young people loose on a worthwhile project, and there's a lot of energy there to be put to good use. And I thank you from the bottom of my heart for what you've done for the needy in the name of the Lord. Among the great number of recruiters we have here, and we welcome you, we're pleased that you came, and I hope you can find good success in locating those that God would have for your ministries. But I heard Mr. Don Morgan's name mentioned. We were just with him last week out in California at an FBF conference. And I'm glad that they were able to come along with Nate, his son, and his daughter-in-law, Brittany, and they're recruiting for Lucerne. It's good to have them here. And just having seen them, I'm glad they made it here safely. While I was out there at that conference, one of our recent graduates, who is a pastor, and his wife were telling me how thrilled they were when just a few weeks ago, a young man in the student body and his fiancée contacted them and said, we're interested in giving at least the first 3 years of our life out of college to help in a lay capacity with a young pioneering church in need of trained leadership. His fiancée is a pianist. They've been praying for 3 years for a pianist. And this couple, just I wish you could have seen the look on their face, the joy. He said, you know, even if nothing comes of this, at least knowing that somebody cared enough about us out here in this lonely wilderness and is interested in the work of God here and is praying about the leadership of the Lord and being a part of this, said, you don't know what delight it brought to our hearts, what burdens it lifted. Just knowing they cared and that they know we're here and that they're praying about coming here. And of course, they would be delighted if the Lord led that couple out there. But I just wanted to share that with you because, you know, we talk to you from time to time about giving the first 3 years out of college to a needy ministry where you can go and serve and put to use the training God has invested in you here. So you just don't go be a pew sitter somewhere. That'd be the greatest tragedy of all. To go and give yourselves in the work of the Lord. God has privileged you, and to whom much is given, much is required. And to know that so many of you have so much interest in doing this is a thrill to all of us on the faculty and staff. And we're glad that you're serious about the things of God and the work of God. Also, would like to thank so many of you in the student body and faculty and staff who wrote gracious words, sent beautiful sympathy cards to our family at the time of my mother's homegoing. On behalf of all the family, I want to thank you for those. Just a tremendous joy to receive those and to know that you cared and that you were praying. And I hope you understand that though we would like to send a note to each of you, it's just not possible because of the great number. It was just a comfort to our hearts, more than I can tell you. And I thank you sincerely and from the depths of our soul. And those of you that have lost dear ones lately, you understand what that means. It really is a tender moment when brothers and sisters in Christ come to the side of each other in times like this. So thank you sincerely. Have a very special praise service speaker coming. I won't tell you who it is, but I had a good phone conversation with him this morning. But you know what? I've been praying and praying and praying. Lord, you know, I don't know what to do for this praise service. Last year, we had the director of the Durham Rescue Mission, Brother Ernie Mills, here. They have a $4 million fund drive for a women's and children's shelter. And they shared with you God's blessing over their 25 years, and we took an offering for them. We're going to take a special offering, perhaps not for the one who is speaking, but there is real cause to give praise on this Thanksgiving. And he's going to come and share a great victory that God has allowed them to see in their ministry in the last few weeks. And I want you to hear it directly from him. My soul is thrilled. I think yours will be thrilled, and a real cause to give praise. So, I'm excited about it, and then we'll tell you about the offering as well. Would you open your Bibles, please, to 2 Corinthians 2? We have some great things planned for this Thanksgiving. Friday is going to be a really special day, a unique day. We're doing some new things that are going to be of great benefit and joy to all of us who are able to be here. I'm glad that so many of your family and friends are coming. I know others of you have plans to be at home, and I know God will bless you and make that a special time as well. But for those of us who are privileged to be here, it's going to be a most unique and, I believe, spiritually invigorating time this year. 2 Corinthians, I'll begin reading at verse 4 of chapter 2. For out of much affliction and anguish of heart, I wrote unto you with many tears, not that ye should be grieved, but that ye might know the love which I have more abundantly unto you. But if any have caused grief, he hath not grieved me, but in part, that I may not overcharge you all. Sufficient to such a man is this punishment, or this censure. He's speaking of the man in the Corinthian church who was involved in incest, and who repented, and now needed to be restored. Sufficient to such a man is this censure that was inflicted of many. So that contrariwise, ye ought rather to forgive him and comfort him, lest perhaps such a one should be swallowed up with overmuch sorrow. Wherefore, I beseech you that ye would confirm your love toward him. For to this end also did I write, that I might know the proof of you, whether ye be obedient in all things. To whom ye forgive anything, I forgive also. For if I forgave anything, to whom I forgave it, for your sakes forgave I it in the person of Christ. Lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. I call your attention especially to verse 11. Lest Satan should gain advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. There is, in this verse, clear indication that we can win against the devil. There's something we must do to fortify ourselves against his devices, against his getting gain over us. But the clear indication here is that he doesn't have to, and we don't have to let him. Many of you are already aware, because we have several in this student body from the Eagle Heights Baptist Church in Kansas City. Many of you are already aware of the great sorrow that has come into the life of Pastor Tom Suter of Eagle Heights Baptist Church. Pastor Suter and I had a long conversation, I believe it was Friday, while I was out in California. A phone conversation. And he has given me permission to share this information with you in the hopes that perhaps it can be of help to you. As you probably know, approximately 2 weeks ago, his wife shot and killed their 24-year-old daughter and then killed herself. There's a long story behind all that. Great tragedy. At the age of 19, after much struggle with their daughter, I believe he told me, if I understood correctly, that twice she had been expelled from their school. Her lifestyle was profligate, licentious. She had great problems with improper sexual encounters with the opposite sex. And her life was a mess. And they couldn't understand what was going on. It's a sweet family. godly family. They couldn't understand what was going on. And at the age of 19, she apparently got genuinely converted. And at that time, all the rest of the story unfolded. At the age of 4, she was visiting her unsaved grandparents. And an older cousin, a boy, came that night while she was at that home, sneaked her out of the house, a 4-year-old girl. Took her to a place where demonic activity was going on in a house not far away. The offering of animal sacrifices took place there. The little girl was sexually violated and smeared with the blood of these animals, offered in worship to the devil, and she was given over by that gang to the devil. It is no wonder that these horrible things were happening to her between 4 and 19. At the time before she was converted, just shortly before, the pastor called his deacons together and met with the girl and said, "We have some questions to ask you. What is going on in your life?" They asked her some questions. She gave some answers. And they asked her to go wait in another room. They talked some more. And they said, "Now when she comes back, Deacon so-and-so, we want you to ask her this question. Deacon so-and-so, you ask her this question." The pastor said, "I'll ask her this question." So they invited her back in. And the pastor said, "We have some more questions for you." She said, "Yes, I know you do." She said, "Mr. So-and-so is going to ask me such and such. And Mr. So-and-so is going to ask me such and such. And Dad's going to ask me such and such." The very questions. We're talking here about satanic activity, folks. And she who had been given to the devil had been given to understand what was going on in that room by these demonic forces. She'd been given to understand. Anyway, shortly thereafter, she got generally converted. And for some years, her life did very well. But the devil doesn't give up easily. The pastor said on one occasion during the good years, he and his daughter were on visitation in a neighborhood they'd never been in before. They knocked on a door. A very evil-looking woman came to the door, a woman they'd never seen before, and looked straight at his daughter and said, "You used to be one of us, and we're mad that you are no longer one of us." Anyway, the girl continued to struggle later on in recent years. Some problems with boys, and she was in the process of moving out of the house. She's 24 years old. And under normal circumstances, it certainly would have been time for her to move out of the house. She wanted to do so. But in this occasion, in these circumstances, the parents were worried about what would happen to her and some of the friendships that she had. But she was in the process of moving out. And in the process of all of that, the mother had all she could take. The mother, you know, fearing horrible things for her daughter, she just broke, and I've already told you the rest of the story. She killed her daughter and then killed herself. Heartbreaking story. But the truth is, ladies and gentlemen, the devil is real. The warfare between righteousness and unrighteousness is real, between light and dark, between evil and good. It's real. There's an unseen warfare going on around us. This verse says that we can win against the devil. The Bible says, "Greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world." Why am I telling you all of this? Just to make you aware again of what you already know, but we all tend to forget in the daily concourse of life. We tend to be oblivious to that which should perhaps, if we were spiritually alive and sensitive and aware and prayerful, would make us wonder and make us more prayerful and more vigilant, that perhaps what we are encountering may be more than just human circumstance. Now, I do not mean in any of this to alarm you unduly. I certainly do not want to. I do not think it is wholesome to spend a great deal of time thinking about the devil and talking about the devil. But the truth is, he is real. and that he is God's enemy, and that there is a wrestling match going on between heaven and hell at all times around us. In a wrestling match, advantage is everything. Sometimes the smaller opponent can gain the fall on the larger opponent simply by taking advantage of a balance moment. When he is at some moment off balance, then he can be felled. Advantage is everything. And the Bible says here, lest Satan should get an advantage of us, because greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. If Satan does get advantage of us, it will have to be at a moment when we're off balance. He is not a stronger foe. Our Lord has defeated Satan at Calvary. He's already defeated by the blood of Christ. He is not yet in chains, however, and he is still a roaring lion going about seeking whom he may devour. We as Christians are at war with an unseen enemy. The Bible puts it this way in Ephesians 6:11, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers of the darkness of this world. And there's more to that verse, but I just want to concentrate on that one phrase. We wrestle against the rulers of the darkness of this world. Wow! The rulers of the darkness. Not just the everyday participants in the darkness of this world, but those who are in the high echelons of hell. The devil's chief generals in his army, who are the rulers of the darkness, the rulers of the entertainment world, the rulers of the political world, the rulers of the educational world, the rulers of the news media. The ones that the devil has appointed in his army to do the chief work of influencing those who do his work of darkness in this world. They're rulers over them, and they are our enemy. Their commander-in-chief, of course, is the devil himself. And if the devil doesn't get advantage of us, it will be only because, as it says here, we are not ignorant of his devices, that is, his stratagems, his schemes. We're not ignorant of how he operates. It's going to be a while before I get back again with a chance to preach to you about these things, but Lord willing, we're going to look at the Scripture from the life of the Lord Jesus and His interaction with His disciples. And we're going to see, just from His work with His own disciples, we're going to see how the devil operates. How within the Lord's group of 12 disciples, the devil tried to do his work. We're going to see what his devices, his stratagems are. We don't have time to go into it today. There's a lot to be learned about the devil's schemes. The Bible says, don't be ignorant of his schemes. Now, if the Lord told us not to be ignorant, naive, dumb, uneducated about the devil's schemes, then we ought not to be that way. In the Civil War, the generals of both sides, North and South, had gone to West Point together. They had studied together. They'd fought out in Mexico together and on the Western frontier together. And they understood the strategy that each one was specialized in. And therefore, on both sides of the war, the generals knew, okay, General Pope, he's likely to do this, and General McClellan, he's likely to do this, and Grant, he's likely to do this, and Lee and Jackson, they're likely to do this, and so forth. They understood each other. And that was a big part of why battles were won or lost. They understood the enemy in that case. They understood how the general, at any given moment, in any given battle, was prone to operate. When he was prone to launch his attack, when he was prone to refrain from attack, when he was prone to move his troops, and how he was going to move them, and how he would set up his battle lines, they understood each other. The Bible says we have an enemy, the devil, and we are supposed to be able to understand how he operates, his devices, his mind, his thought, his purpose, We're supposed to understand something about that, something about his character and his nature, because what he does out of his makeup, his character and his nature. He does what he does because he is what he is. Young people, never underestimate the devil, but never overestimate the devil. He would love to get you preoccupied with him. Years ago, there was a time here on campus, I'm going to say it must have been 10 years ago now at least, when all kind of crazy rumors were going around. Did you hear that last night as one of the night watchmen was walking through Rhoda Haver Auditorium in the middle of the night on his rounds, the organ started playing by itself? Or as a night watchman was going through the art gallery at 3 in the morning, he looked up at one of the paintings and blood was dripping from the wound of the Savior's pierced side and formed a pool on the carpet. Nonsense. Never happened. But all kind of stories like that were going around. People were all jittery. I had a letter from a graduate in town and saying, "What's going on out there on the campus? We're hearing all these stories about the work of the devil." I said, "It's not happening." You know, that can be a very dangerous thing. The devil loves that kind of attention. We're not going to have that around here. That's not godly. It's not right. It's giving place to the devil. It's giving him advantage and opportunity, which the Bible says don't give him. But the Bible says don't be ignorant of his strategy. Understand who he is and how he operates and what his purposes are against the God of heaven, so that you don't fall prey to him, so he doesn't gain an advantage over you. That's the purpose of this. And so, in due time, when I can preach some more, I want to go to the Gospels and look at some of the stratagems that he used against the Lord and against his disciples, so we will not be ignorant of his devices. In the meantime, stay close to the Lord. The name of the Lord is a strong tower, the Bible says. The righteous runneth into it and is safe. You and I have no might against the devil. We have no intellect. We can't match wits with him. The arm of flesh is of no threat to him. The mind of man is of no threat to him, but is often his playground. You and I have no power against him. We can't command him to do this or that. It is the Lord who is our strength against our enemy. He has the power to defeat him. And we are strong only to the degree that we are strong in Christ. I hope you are strong in the Lord Jesus Christ and will not be ignorant of the devil's devices. The Bible tells us what they are, and we need to know them, so that in a moment of weakness and off balance, he does not gain advantage of us in this wrestling match. Let's stand and we'll be dismissed in prayer. Dear Lord, we will not fear when thou art near. One little word from thee will fell our enemy. The demons of hell rage in this world. They rage against thee. They've been angry with thee ever since they were cast out of heaven in their great rebellion against thee. And dear Lord, I pray that today thy protection around each blood-washed saint in this place and about this institution, about the churches from which they come, the homes from which they come. Lord, we look around us and the landscape is littered with the devastation, the carnage of those who were ignorant of his devices and whom he has pinned to the mat in this wrestling match. Lord, I pray that it shall not be so with any of us in this room. By thy grace, Lord, let it not be so. In Jesus' name, amen.
You've been listening to the Chapel Hour coming to you from the campus of Bob Jones University. Our speaker was the university president, Dr. Bob Jones III. If you'd like a cassette copy of today's message, send a check for $6.50 to Campus Store, Bob Jones University, Greenville, South Carolina 29614. Be sure to mention the name of the speaker and today's date. The Chapel Hour has been sponsored by Bob Jones University.